Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. What a blessing. Thanks for your patience, and what a blessing to celebrate with them. So we've been on a great journey as a congregation, just drawing near to God and becoming a house of Bethany, becoming a house where the Lord is ministered to. Amen. Where Christ is ministered to. And last week or two, we've been looking at with Philip specifically ministering last week about us getting engaged with God's purpose for us as individuals, as a congregation. You know, we're talking about doing the stuff, and referring to that great account of John Wimber. Some of you may know his name. He's the one who started the Vineyard Church. And the account goes like this: when he was a young believer and he just came to Christ, he was radically saved. And he didn't know church, didn't know Christianity, and he went to a local. He started reading the Bible, had a hunger for the Word, and he went to the closest church that he could find. And he was really inspired by the Word, and I think he was reading through Acts, if I have it correctly. And then went to church week after week, and then at one point he got a bit frustrated, and he went up to the priest, reverend, pastor, I don't know which it was, and he said to him, "But when are we going to do the stuff? When are we going to get to the stuff?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "When are we going to do the stuff in the Bible?" You know, so he was just getting frustrated about all that stuff going on, but he couldn't see the things that we see in Acts happening in church. And anyway, long story short, that's kind of where that phrase comes from, doing the stuff, is us. Basically got to do with us taking what's in Scripture and applying it, taking what's in Scripture and what His promise for us and His mandate for us, and actually living it out practically. Amen. So that's what we've been talking about. And if you're still keen to jump in and get involved, there's great opportunities. We sent the link out where there's places where you can say, "I want to know more about this that's happening in church," or "I want to get involved in this team." So please still do that if you haven't been able to. And this morning, I just want us to, just in line with that and what God has been saying to us. See, they're still getting to the presentation, but don't stress. You follow with me in your Bible if you have one. So we're going to read from Hebrews 11. And this is called the chapter of faith. And I wish I could read the whole thing. But please do that at home. Read the whole chapter. It starts with what the definition of faith. What is faith? And there we go. But then it gives an account, and it talks about the faith of Abraham. It talks about the faith of Noah and Moses, and goes on, and it kind of talks about the generals of the faith that we know, and. And I just want to take out this small part here, because we're on this path. We saying, "Lord, what is it that you have called us to be and do in this city? And also, what are those good works that you have prepared for us as individuals and us as a congregation? What are those good works that you've prepared for the Ellis family and for little Leah as well? And how do we walk in the fullness of those good works?" And so let me just read a bit here. So this is really inspiring, all the things that that they did by faith. Let's start from verse 32. "How much more do I need to say?" And because now he's kind of listed a whole bunch of these guys. He says, "It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And he continues, and he talks about the real persecution that many of these guys encountered, the real resistance, but also how faith prevailed. But I wanted to pull out this a little bit here, because in verse 34 it says, their weakness was turned to strength. Because if we go to look at each one of these that we see as generals in the faith, and each one of these mighty men that we in Scripture see in Scripture, mighty men and women who did these incredible, had these incredible encounters with God, and did these incredible exploits for God, each of them were just normal people like you and I, with faults, with weaknesses, with lots of issues, okay? And that's what's so great to go and read about these people, because all of them were you know, broken people like you and I, fallible, with faults, with their own sin, with their own issues. But then he says that their weakness was turned to strength. As they were pursuing the purpose of God, that as they were answering the call, that weakness was turned to strength. And each of them, you can go and read, each of them had an encounter with God in some or other way. Whether it was Moses at the burning bush or different accounts, but they had encounters with God that set them on this path. And as they responded to God, all those weaknesses that were very real, the ones that we also experience, were turned into strength. So I want to encourage you, maybe you read a chapter like this and you think, wow, that's incredible, but I don't feel like one of these guys. I can't relate really, because I don't feel like I've changed the world, or maybe I haven't put an army to flight recently. You know, I haven't shut the mouths of lions recently. So maybe we feel intimidated, or we feel, wow, this is maybe on another level. But I want to encourage you, they all started. It's pretty much where we're at, you know, just normal people responding to an extraordinary God. I mean, so I want us to look a little bit at that as we are positioning ourselves, even in this month of fasting, we are humbling ourselves, right? If you haven't joined, there's still time, you can join. We're humbling ourselves, we are giving stuff up, and we're saying, Lord, we want to know your will and your purpose, and we want to make it clear that everything else is secondary, but you are of primary importance in our lives. Amen. And as we're doing that this month, I want to encourage you, even if it's a small step, maybe this feels like a big step for you, fasting, or this, just start small. Just take small steps. Amen. Okay, let's go on. So I want to read from Matthew 11. And I think we've all been here. It talks about those who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So all of us get to this place at one point or another. And so I think this invitation from Christ is for all of us. I'll read from 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So this invitation is not just for some special people. It's just for everybody, okay? This invitation is equally for us in here and for every soul out there. Jesus is inviting us to come to him. This in itself, I can stand still at this for a while, because isn't this a miracle that the creator of the universe is inviting us personally? So you come to me. Come to me. Bring those heavy burdens. Bring those things that are weighing you down. But come to me. Just with all the stuff that you're carrying, I will give you rest. And then what challenges me about this invitation is the context of it is that there's a different yoke that he wants us to take. So he's saying, guys, that the heaviness and some of the stuff that you are carrying is not my yoke. It's not for me. And the yoke, if you, is that thing that the oxen had over their necks when they were pulling a cart or a plow, that normally two oxen next each other and tying them together. They were pulling together and going in the same direction. If you have a yoke with, if you yoke with someone, you're not going anywhere if you're trying to go in different directions. All right. So he's inviting us to come to him. Firstly, like I said, and I want to just go on to the next scripture. He's, if you feel, wow, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet where I can do all this stuff. Then all I want to say to you is take the first step. Zechariah 4, they're talking about restoring the temple. And he says that in verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And just a few verses before that, he said, this is the word to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So as we start, and maybe we're all in different spaces this morning in terms of fasting or in terms of knowing our gifts or in terms of doing this stuff, but I want to encourage you, just take a small step. Just say, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm not teaching at Bible school. Maybe I'm not an evangelist going out yet. Maybe I haven't been on a mission trip. I want to say, just start small. If you're fasting with us for the first time, don't be intimidated. Maybe somebody is water fasting for 40 days. I'm not there yet. Just take a small step. Just make a small beginning. Amen? So whether that means, saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to, as I'm fasting, as I'm giving up something this month, I want to grow in my quiet time. There's Philip and Mark who recorded a great podcast with some really practical help just in terms of basic quiet time. I want to really encourage you to go and listen to that and then pass it on to somebody as well because it's really practical, it's really helpful. And Mark says that even if you have 15 minutes, start with 15 minutes. Start with 5 minutes of worship, maybe 5 minutes in the Word and 5 minutes in prayer. And even that small start will change your life. So make those small steps. See the work begin. It's not by our might, but it's by the Spirit of God. Amen. So we make the small steps. Firstly, we draw near to Him. I just want to break down the scripture that we just read. So take the small steps. Start drawing near. Make a decision to draw near to God. All right. This is, you'll know if you've been a believer for a while, this is not something that happens by accident. All right. This is something that we need to be deliberate and we need to plan this and schedule this in, but make a point of drawing near to God. And if you're a new believer, maybe this isn't part of your schedule or part of your habits, then yes, we have to start a new habit. So whether that means if you're somebody maybe that has a morning coffee at a certain time or you have a morning routine, then put your Bible on the coffee machine or make it easy for you to remember, you know what, I want to add this into my morning routine. I want to take this time out to spend with God and to draw near to Him. And secondly, He invites us to take His yoke. And that's going to mean we're going to throw off some other yokes, okay? So, depending on where you're at, there might still be weights or yokes or things that you are carrying that are heavy, that are burdens that are slowing you down, things that God has not called you to carry. So I want to really challenge you to take time as you're drawing near to God and say, Lord, show me what are the things that I'm carrying that are not of you, that you've not called me to carry. And the part of taking God's yoke is the second part that He invites us to learn from Him. This is so powerful because, to be honest, we are clueless when it comes to the things of God when we start yoking with Him at the beginning, right? So He says, come and learn from Me. And I want to encourage you, if no matter where you are at in your relationship with Christ, there's space to learn and to grow and to receive from Him. The encounters are starting again. And to be honest with you, the only regret I have about the encounters is that I didn't start them earlier. I was a bit... I had lots of excuses. I was busy with my studies and I didn't have time for stuff like that. So I only ended up doing encounter one when I was told that I can't go on a mission trip unless I did these things. So that's a bit of a confession. So I wanted to go on this trip around the country, and they said, look, you can't, you have to first do these encounters. And then I said, okay. So don't make the same mistake, right? Get in there and bring somebody along. But that's where we start, right? We start to learn from him. And there's great opportunities through the encounters or Bible school that's starting in a month's time. If you don't have time to commit to Bible school, you're not sure, just come for the first 3 weeks there. Tuesday evenings from the 4th of March. The first three Tuesdays are open. Open sessions for everybody. You don't have to register yet. But even if you just come for the first one, you'll be blessed. Okay? So please join us 4th of March, Tuesday evening. But those are the places where we can position ourselves in encounters, in Bible school, in the Word, in our quiet time, in small group. There are so many where we can say, I want to grow. I want to learn from Christ in his presence, and I want to take his yoke on me. Amen. So grab a hold of those opportunities. And again, maybe you're new in this congregation or you're new in this community. I want to encourage you there. We need to give ourselves some time, okay? You know, we moved, our eldest started high school now. And the two younger ones, we went to a different school as well. So we're getting to know two different new communities right now. And it's a little bit daunting. There's a lot of things to get used to. And to be honest, you know, I mentioned this the other day, after spending 8 years at the previous school and really building great relationships, when I walked in there in the new school the other day, I was not sure, this is going to be tough, you know, starting from scratch. So you might feel like that right now, but I want to say, give yourself some grace. It's going to take some time. So whether you know, don't know anybody in church, or you haven't visited a small group, or you're just starting to get involved, just give it some time. Because relationships take time, amen? Relationships take time. New friendships take time. And it doesn't go overnight. So give yourself some grace, give it some time, and take the small steps. Whether it means counter one next Sunday morning, whether it means visiting a small group, whether it means, you know, did you see that thing on the website, Coffee with the Pastor? Whether it means clicking on there, you know, and booking a coffee with the pastor, do that. Do that. Take those small steps. And, you know, when we came back from England and we joined Shofar Pretoria, we didn't know many people. We had a couple of friends, but it takes time to build friendships. So give yourself that time and take those small steps. Amen. And then he says, we will find rest for our souls. And I don't know about you, but that sounds good in any context that you're from. That sounds good. Amen. So there's a promise of a life lived from a place of rest, not from a place of panic, not from a place of fear, not from a place of being rushed and running from thing to thing, but from a place of rest. That is what he has prepared for us. The yoke that he gives us and the purpose that he has for us is exciting. And we look at the great exploits that the heroes of the faith did, and we can be inspired to say, Lord, what do you want to do through my life? Right? What is it that you want to change in my community through my life? But I want to encourage you, it starts from a place of drawing near to him. It starts from a place of surrender. It starts from a place of spending time in his presence and learning from him. Okay. In Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus sends out the 12 and he gives them some instructions, and and then he challenges them here. He says, heal the sick. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. And yes, again, we might think, sure, I don't know about the raising the dead or the healing the sick yet. You know, I haven't. Maybe that's a stretch for us right now. But again, for some of us, that's the next step, right? Smith Wigglesworth, somebody asked him, he's one of the guys that saw many people raised from the dead in his life of ministry. And somebody once asked him, how is it possible that so many people have been raised from the dead through your ministry? And he said, if you have prayed for so many dead people that I have, surely some of them will also have raised from the dead. So he just continued, whether they responded or not. He prayed for a lot of dead people. So I want to encourage you, you know, maybe that's not your next step. Maybe your first step is to say, what is it that I have received from God? Because we all have received from Him. And He says, give what you have received. Give it freely. So if you have taken two steps in your faith, what is it that you have received and what is it that you've learned? Give that freely to somebody else. Are you with me? So if you've attended Encounter One and you've taken one or two steps in your faith, then I want to encourage you, bring somebody else to attend Encounter One. Bring somebody else to small group. If you've taken some steps in your faith, maybe not that many, maybe you feel you haven't grown that much, but you have grown, then take the hand of somebody else. Say, don't you want to come with me? This is what I know. This is what I've received, and this is what I want you to have as well. Are you with me? And then, finally, just this encouragement from James chapter 4. Verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And this is what happens in Encounter 4. We learn all about what it means to submit to God. And we learn all about what it means to resist the devil, all right? And the promise there is, when we are submitted under Christ, when we are submitted to God, and when we then resist the devil, when we stand in our authority that we have in Christ, then he has no option and he has to flee from us. But the invitation here again at the end here says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that's my invitation to you as well this morning. Through the blood of Jesus, God has already opened the way for each one of us to be able to draw near to Him. You know, that phrase that says, you know, if we look at our sin and we look at our past and we look at our fallenness and we look at all the stuff that we've been up to, many of us feel unworthy of coming to Christ. Many of you may feel that today. You know, and that phrase that says, we've done, through all of that stuff, we've done everything in our power to be separated from God, because that's what happens, is we get separated from God. But the good news is that God has done everything in His power to reconcile us to Him. And this, the reality that His power is infinite, and our power is not so much notable. What a blessing that He has done everything in His power through the blood of Jesus to reconcile us to Himself. So the invitation is through the blood of Christ, everything is there, everything has prepared so that when you and I choose to draw near, He will draw near, He will respond. He is faithful, He's right there. Are you with me this morning? Amen. So we're going to take communion this morning together. If I can have one or two people helping us just to hand out the communion, that would be great. Thank you. As a handing out, just want to encourage us, you know, if your drawing near to God is maybe sporadic or it's not yet a daily habit, I want to really encourage you, if you start small, if you start with a short period of time, you will soon find yourself hungry for more. You will soon find that 6 minutes in the Word is not enough, or you'll find that those 15 minutes, you'll find, well, I want more of that. I want more of the Word. And So start small. Start with a reading plan, or start with something that tickles or builds your appetite for the Word, right? And what happens is when we build these disciplines into our lives, when we build these habits into our lives, when the wheels come off and stuff goes wrong, then those things are in place. Then that almost comes naturally, that we, when things go pear-shaped, we run to God. We run to His presence. We run into the Word. We run into prayer. It has to become a habit. I mean, so I want to encourage you. You know, back in the day when I was in the Air Force, I did some skydiving as a sport, and it was great fun. And I remember the training. They paid a lot of attention to what you need to do when things go wrong. In other words, when your parachute doesn't open properly, or the lines are all twisted up, or something goes wrong. And they made us practice those maneuvers. I still know exactly what to do. I haven't jumped in 20 years. But I still know exactly what to do, because they drilled it into us so that when that moment comes, you don't have to think. You don't have to wonder, what is it? What's that thing that they said? Obviously, you don't have a lot of time, you know, thanks. So there's no time to think or to wonder or try and remember. It has to be drilled into you to the point where you just do it automatically. You cut away the main chute, you open the reserve chute, and praise the Lord, you have another chance. Eh? Anyway, we were very glad for those reserve chutes. But there was this, did we have enough? There we go, at the back there. Has everybody got something? Yeah, you need. Yeah, we need some of those. Yeah, thank you. Who needs the crackers still? This side. Thanks. There was a guy in America on his first jump, who he had to do a cutaway. So there was something wrong. No. Let me. As on his first jump, this is what happened. He caught a thermal updraft of warm air, and he didn't expect that. It wasn't obviously part of the training, but he caught this updraft of warm air. It took him to something 30 something thousand feet, which is where the Boeings fly, and the air was so thin up there that his main parachute collapsed, and then he fell for a while. And then he did a cutaway. He was trained well. He did know exactly what to do. His reserve chute opened, and he was fine. And he landed about, I don't know if it was 200 kilometers or 200 miles away. But I don't know if he continued with skydiving after that. But that thing was drilled into him. And I want to encourage us, as we take these small steps, we establish ourselves in the Word. We establish ourselves in prayer. Even if you're a young believer and none of these things are a habit yet, start with the small steps. And when the going gets tough, those things will be what saves us. Amen. When we are already in a habit of drawing near to God, when we're already in a habit of getting into Scripture. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. We're going to take communion together. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that through the blood of Jesus, you have made a way for us. Yeah, God, we stand in awe, Lord. When we look at the giants of the faith in the Scripture, and we look at how the whole of history was shaped through your faithfulness and your miraculous intervention through the lives of ordinary people. Yeah, God, and this morning we recognize that each one of them had an encounter with you, Lord. Each one of them had a moment where they drew near to you, Lord. And this morning, that's what we're doing, Lord. We're drawing near to you, God. We realize, Lord, that the call that is on our lives and the call that is on this congregation and the mandate that you have for us to finish your work, to take the gospel to the nations, Lord, to see communities transform, Lord, to see the power of the gospel at work in every place we go, Lord. This is a real call that you call us with. I thank you, Lord, that it starts with us drawing near to you, God. Yeah, and this morning we thank you that the reason we can draw near to you is because of Jesus Christ, because you sent your Son, Lord Jesus. You sent your Son, God, to die on a cross for us. You sent your Son to take our place, to take our sin upon himself, so that we can have a relationship with you, so that we can be clean, so that we can be redeemed, so that our sins can be washed away, so that we can step from darkness into your marvelous light. This morning, before we have communion, as our eyes are closed right now, if you do not yet have an assurance of salvation, if you do not yet know for sure that you are born again, if you feel far from God right now, and you have a desire to draw near to him, you have a desire to repent of your sin, to turn away from your sin, and to choose to follow him as Lord and Savior, as King of Kings, if that's your desire this morning, as every eye's closed, why don't you just raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to just pray with you before we have communion. Is there anybody like that this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. And you know, thank you that as we take this communion, we can remember, Lord Jesus, what you have done on the cross for us. As we take this bread, Lord, we remember the body of Christ that was broken for us. That you were tortured, you were beaten, you were nailed to the cross. The body was physically destroyed so that we may have life. And through that broken body, through your stripes, through your suffering, we can have health and life. And you have made provision for every imaginable need. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate the cross and we receive the provision that you have made, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let's eat together. Yes, Father, as we take this juice, we take it as a symbol. It's a symbol of your blood. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord, as your blood was shed on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that your blood, this blood is a symbol of the life that is in the blood, Lord, and it speaks of the life that we have in Christ. Thank you that blood that was shed on the cross for us, that blood that seeped into the ground at the foot of the cross, that is literally still there in the ground. And it still declares that there is redemption in the blood of Jesus. There's new life in the blood of Jesus. There's healing and deliverance. There's life. And we thank you, Lord, that this morning as we take this juice, we thank you that your blood was shed for us. We thank you for new life. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for a clean slate. And we thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus at work in our lives and through our lives. In the name of Jesus. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father, I thank you as we celebrate the cross. Yes, God, that as we go out this week to wherever you have taken us and we're in our different communities, schools, university, workplaces, homes, wherever you take us this week, in the name of Jesus, we trust, Lord, that as we draw near to you, we're going to see the power of the gospel at work, not only in our lives, Lord, but through our lives. Yeah, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd stir a hunger and a thirst in us for more of you, Lord. All right now, I thank you, Lord, even those of us that feel far from you, stir in us a hunger for you. A hunger for your word, a hunger for your presence. I just sense there's some that are heavy, carrying a heavy weight of guilt and weights of guilt and condemnation. And right now, we just bring that to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you'd remove weights of guilt and heaviness of condemnation in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for grace, for heavy hearts to turn to you, Lord. The invitation that Christ offers us is, cast your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you for a boldness to come to you, Lord, with our weights, with our burdens, with our cares. Thank you for a boldness to take your yoke upon us, Lord. And thank you for a hunger to learn from you, Lord, and take your yoke upon us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you fill each one of us afresh with your presence, with your power. And as we go out, Lord, that yes, truly we will see your kingdom come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for being with us. If you want to respond to the word specifically, if you feel God has spoken to you or challenged you on some specific thing, please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. And if you have any other prayer need, I might not have an answer for you, but I know that God through Christ has made a way for you. Amen. So if you need healing or if you need provision or if you need some prayer for something, please come to the front. We'd love to stand in faith with you and pray with you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.